Hello, everyone. This is Eric Ogren of the Ogren Group. Here with Roger Thompson, Chief Research Officer of ABG Technologies. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Actually, warm, sunny October day. Could not be better. And I would say, why don't we just get right at it, and we'll keep this at an educational level, and so that SMB, IT managers and directors have a sense as to what's going on and how antivirus and endpoint security is adjusting to meet these new threats.
Sounds great.
So why don't we get going, Roger, with just what is new? I mean, antivirus software was designed in the 80s, well before laptops, smartphones, and I can even remember 9600 baud dial-up lines, for heaven's sake. what's new with Web 2.0, and how is it so fundamentally different to users?
Well, there's a couple of differences. One is that the bad guys have figured out how to slip malicious code past antivirus scanners, and they do it with glee, and they do it often. What they do is they figured out that 98% of today's antivirus products are what we call known signature scanners. They know what a virus looks like, and they have a signature for that virus, and they're really good at detecting and blocking that virus and knowing how to remove it, and that's fine. But the weakness of that is, the upside of that is that it tells you you've got a virus or it says nothing, and everything's clean and everything's easy to understand. The downside of that is that if something is new, the antivirus program is not able to detect it until it's taught to detect it, until it's given a signature. And the bad guys know that if they create enough new bits of mal code every day, it'll take a while for the antivirus companies to add them. Well, rest assured, they'll all be added, but there'll be a while. It might take a day to 10 days to 15 days to add all of them. And when I say all of them, they're creating 20 to 30,000 new bits of mal code every day and dumping them on antivirus companies. And it's a bit like playing whack-a-mole. You have to guess which of the 20 to 30,000 brand new bits of mal code every day are going to be the ones that are released on the web to try to sneak into people's computers. And of those, there's probably only a few hundred. So you've got to decide, the antivirus companies have to try to decide which of the 20 to 30,000, which 400 or 500 out of the 20 to 30,000 are the ones that you really have to worry about today. And the rest are only there to create, put dust in the air and create a smoke screen. They'll never actually be seen on people's computers.
That's an impressive rate. I've seen numbers that a new piece of mal code appears every 2 seconds.
I don't doubt that. In fact, it gets worse because they're actually getting 250,000 samples in total coming into every antivirus lab every day. But a lot of those are older ones that have been seen before, and they're just existing in people's collections and being passed around. But 20 to 30,000 are new and unique, never been seen before. And the other interesting thing is that most of them will never be seen in the wild again. They're in the wild for a few days, and then they get phased out by the bad guys because they know that they're going to be detected. They just swap a new one in every other day or so.
Yeah, that actually, from my research, that's one of the fascinating things I've seen also is, a virus isn't a virus anymore. It tends to be crimeware.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a virus is not a very good weapon of choice if you're trying to steal money from people because it spreads willy-nilly and attacks everyone. What you want is something that slips in and tries not to be noticed and is hard to remove, but which is able to watch for credit cards and login details and is then able to pass those details back to the mothership. That's what they want to do, and that's what they're mostly doing. I would say viruses are now probably just 1 or 2% of the problem.
It's amazing how things have changed. And I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about how endpoint security is evolving to that. I mean, I know email is only about 10 to 15% of the entry point for mal code now, and there's just not a lot of binary downloads going on. But can you talk a little bit about layered security and what SMB should know about that and why layers are important?
Yes, that's right. One of the really interesting aspects of of the antivirus world is that there are definite ages. Things happen for a few years and then there'll be some sort of extinction level event and something new comes along to take its place. And if you went back a few years ago, mass mailing worms, worms that were attached to email, were the problem of the day, and worms and network worms and bots, which would try to blast their way into people's computers. That's how the bad guys are doing it. But then when Service Pack 2, XP Service Pack 2 was released, the firewall was on by default for the first time, and that stopped all those things. It was an extinction level event. But now what happens is that when you start a web browser, you start it from inside the firewall. Therefore, it's starting from a trusted place, and it creates a tunnel right through the firewall. And if you visit a website of malicious intent, the code is able to get back to the desktop and have a shot at executing. That's very important for small businesses to understand, because they've probably got some sort of a gateway or firewall that all their PCs are going through. And you need to understand that every time somebody on the inside starts a web browser, it's creating a tunnel right through there.
Oh, interesting. So the firewall is absolutely essential for connecting to the internet, but I guess what I'm hearing is a lot of SMBs have, you know, higher misplaced confidence in how much filtering they're doing from a security standpoint.
But they're probably not even thinking about it, but it's absolutely so that the firewall, you need a firewall to keep hackers out, but the firewall's not able to keep, the web-based stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that why we're starting to see an increase in behavioral and even heuristic layers within endpoint security?
The pure numbers, yes. Yes, the nice thing about behavioral technology is that, and this is different from heuristics. All scanners have had heuristics where they'll analyze the code and try to determine in advance that this code might be going to infect another program, or it might be going to write to the master boot sector or something like that. That's a good idea. That's called heuristics. But there's so many viruses coming out. There's so many bits of malcode coming out now. And so it's all so heavily compressed and obfuscated that it's difficult for the heuristics to spot that sort of thing until the code actually starts to run. But then behavior blocking comes into play. And the way a behavior blocker works is it watches the code as it runs after it decompresses itself and de-encrypts itself, unencrypts itself. It watches what it's actually doing. And in real time, it makes decisions such as, okay, this appears to be hooking keystrokes or watching keystrokes. That's not such a good thing. And, oh, look, it's inserted itself so that it's going to survive a reboot. Oh, and it's running hidden. That's another black mark against it. And if you get enough black marks, then you make a decision that it's malicious code. And this has always been an idea that's been possible since the very early days. But in the early days, people preferred signature scanners. But now there's just so many bits of malcode, it's time for the behavior blockers to become the main line of defense. Just use the signature scanning to pick up anything that gets through the behavior.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the signature scanning is effective for cleaning. But I think in terms of defense and protection, I think you really need, you know, most effective systems start with behavior.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. You can actually clean using generic behavior technology as well. If you actually track what gets installed, then you actually know how to remove it. You know what DLLs to unhook and what registry entries to reverse. And there are products that do that. They're not effective against everything, but they're very effective against the bulk of malcode that's circulating today.
And how would an SMB organization evaluate one vendor's approach to behavior blocking from another? I mean, is this an easy thing for them to do? Or?
No, unfortunately, it is pretty difficult, because the only way you can really evaluate a behavior blocker is to let it infect a system, watch the changes that it made, and then see if the behavior blocker is able to detect that, and then reverse the installation of it. So it requires quite a bit of quite a bit of expertise to know what the which ones are the good ones, which ones are the snake oil.
Yep. Yeah, and there is a lot of snake oil out there.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
You know, one thing that SMB organizations can evaluate pretty readily is performance. And I've seen cases, and we talked about the impact of signatures, where users turn off endpoint security because it takes so long to boot. You know, the disk turns for hours performing a system scan, or
when
you get hesitation in runtime performance.
Yep, that's exactly why folks should be looking at using behavior-based technology as their main line of defense. Now, as I was saying before, there's a couple of 100,000 bits of malcode coming to every antivirus lab every day, 20 to 30,000 are new. All that adds up, and scanners trying to find all of those things are now scanning for 1.5 to 2 million bits of malicious code every time they run a scan. And it's actually quite dumb, because only a few hundred will actually be circulating in the wild at any point in time. It's much better to use behavior technology and just focus the signatures on the things that you know to be circulating.
Well, I can see that would have a big payoff. I know with hundreds of thousands of data objects to scan, you only have to save, you know, a few milliseconds per object to have a big benefit at the end.
And it cuts down on false alarms and support problems and the whole bit.
Oh, interesting. Cool. And does that drive some of the ease of use issues? Because, you know, what should SMBs be looking at? And, you know, they want to be able to install endpoint security and never see it again and just let it do its job. Mm-hmm. What types of things are different and differentiators for ease of use?
I think that the main thing to look for is something that can be installed and then basically left alone not require a lot of maintenance.
Oh, thanks, Roger. I can see how these layers can actually help on the endpoint security quite a bit. Do they also help with some of the social security threats we're seeing from Facebook and Twitter?
Well, you know, the really interesting thing about Facebook and the other Web 2.0 properties, or as I like to call them, Web 2.0, is that there's enormous potential for fun and enormous potential for abuse. Facebook has 300 million users, and they've got 1 million people developing applications for those users. You can be fairly sure that not all 1 million of those developers are nice guys. We just recently found some applications that initially we thought they were deliberately malicious because they were reaching out to exploit sites in Russia that we knew about. But when we looked closely, we found that the applications had been hacked, which was very interesting. The application developers were blissfully unaware that they'd been hacked. So that's one problem. And because everybody checks their MySpace and their Facebook pages from work, again, you're inviting that stuff into your organization. There's probably not much point in saying you're going to ban it because it's good fun, but you have to understand that this is an emerging area that offers great potential for the bad guys to do bad things.
And not only that, but a lot of small and medium businesses have MySpace pages for business and their own blogs and social sites that they use to communicate with their customers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, Roger, this has been great. It's actually, I wish we had more time. We could talk for a long time about security and endpoints. But I just want to say AVG is the sponsor of this podcast. What's your recommendation for SMBs that want to learn more about what AVG has to offer? And this will be the one product question I have for this podcast.
Sure. Well, AVG has an excellent offering for small businesses that's heavily weighted around web defense and also behavior-based technologies. People should go to avg.com and download a trial version and give it a whirl. And the product that they want to look for on the AVG website is Internet Security version 9 for the network edition.
Great, and that will have leading edge behavioral features that we talked about, and I think that's what SMBs have been looking for.
You bet.
Roger, it's been great. I appreciate it, and thank you all for listening in on this podcast, and I wish you all a happy, safe computing.
Thanks, Eric.
Take care now. Thanks, Roger. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.